Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Kick My Brother Podcast.
Kick My Brother Podcast
with Chris and Kyle. Hey! For the next hour, some entertaining conversation, some music talk, and whatever else they get into. Hey! Here are your hosts, Chris and Kyle.
I'm going to go on the record now. I'm going to think that we have one of the longest openings out there.
In the history.
Yeah.
In the history of podcasting. It is. And but you know what I try to do? At least for my own entertainment, maybe folks who listen can also do the same. You try to figure out what you can get done in that time of the intro. Remember I was joking before we could just jump in the shower?
Yeah.
Eric, come back out, start the show, so I'm still trailing off.
Yeah, do we just get a bunch of stuff done?
Yeah, do it. Yeah, just get some stuff done, settle in.
Yep. All done.
See it. All done. Good. Intro's still rolling. A couple more things done.
That's right.
And then that's why you got a couple extra seconds.
Yeah, we have all that time to get to the beginning of the show where we actually start talking about something, too, if you want to add that in there.
Yeah, it's not a direct flight to get there. You kind of got to go around. There's a layover somewhere that happens before you finally get to the topic.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you mean?
Sure.
Speaking of layovers.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
What are we talking about today, Chris?
A very influential comedy troupe. One of the many. But now, how many comedy troupes do you know? There's a few out there. Never a troupe like this, though. Never a troupe like this.
No, it was the first one I was aware of.
Never a troupe like this one.
Nope. We're talking Monty Python.
A big hit there.
Yeah. They celebrated early today. They ruined the surprise too early.
What surprise?
Well, I think we're kind of keeping everybody on edge. Like, who are we going to talk about today? And then you said that you started doing the English accent. And I was like, Monty Python.
Oh, yeah, you jumped right in. You got it.
I did.
You got it. British surreal comedy group. Absolutely surreal.
Yeah, I don't know if there was, I mean, there was some sort of other comedy
comparable
show at the
show?
Time. Yeah.
I don't think a comedy troupe, but a show at the time, I think, that was comparable, which was a time I think a lot of people started watching PBS, call in today, $20, you'll get your umbrella, is Benny Hill was also on PBS at that time.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of sketch comedy out there, I imagine.
Well, no, because tonight's show's on Benny Hill, so I just thought that I'd bring that up.
We're doing
the Benny Hill show tonight?
No. No Benny Hill. Well, we should do a Benny Hill. Where's the song, the Benny Hill? That girl.
That's it, yeah. It was like a fat boxing lady throwing her dress off in the middle of a field somewhere, and Benny Hill's chasing around. Not to be the fucking lottery man. You look like that, you have a successful acting career, you're loved by millions, and you're a mad pervert alcoholic running to the field. You know?
Yep.
And it wasn't only one, then he'd see another one. He was like Benny Hill was like the Pepe Le Pew of grown men. Remember, because he'd see chase a woman, then he'd like see another woman chase after her, like something shiny, you know. Benny Hill, comparable troop to Monty Python.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I didn't realize until we decided to talk about Monty Python that how old it was even then. I mean, I guess it was on from 1969.
That's what you say, man. These guys are, some of these guys are still alive. How old it was even then.
Well, when I started watching, it was old. I mean, like, I had to start watching it, you know. I mean, well, we had obviously older brothers, so I was probably like 10. You know, so 84, it was already done. It was already off the air for like 10 years.
Yeah, it was actually off in like 84, I remember. But it was off the air, but that's what was crazy about it is a little bit of trivia. It when it ended in 74, you know, broadcast between 64. That's when it broadcast in the United States, the year that it ended in the BBC. So it had already been on for 5 years even before. It was been, I mean, it was done by the time it hit the U.S.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
5 years, bam, and then it came over to Texas, and it was in Texas, of all places. On PBS, PBS call-in, $3 donation, you get a photo album and the umbrella.
Was it really? Is that they're making this up, or is this true?
See, now you have to question everything, I think, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it is this particular thing. is in fact, the truth. It was it debuted in Dallas, PBS station, 74. $40 donation gets you tickets to the play, the photo album, and the umbrella.
Huh.
But it was, it was a big troupe, and there was a really famous dude from the troupe you might, I think you might know who he is. He's been in quite a few movies. Yep, that's right. Are you the only one playing? Is there anyone playing with
you? Yeah, he's probably, I mean, he's the most famous of them all, right?
Oh, he absolutely is. And that's actually what the name kind of came about because of him. In a way, because he was, you know about Cambridge University? That's a horrible accent, accent. But Cambridge University, he went to school there with Graham Chapman. I think he was a year older than Graham Chapman or something like that.
Okay.
And so he went to school with Graham Chapman, and they were both in this something like a stage thing called Footlights or something like that. So that's how both of those guys met. Name it there. That's all I can think of actually. That's all I can think about. But no, they were you were actually mentioning this before. The Flying Circus is what they're best known for.
Yeah,
Monty Python's Flying Circus, and actually because John Cleese was so famous at the time, but the most popular one I should say at the time of the group when the group was first formed. According to an interview with Michael Palin, one of the comedy troupe members, we should name them Michael Palin, Terry Jones, Terry Gilliam, Graham Chapman, and John Cleese. Was the ultimate comedy troupe. Anyway, when PBS picked it up or something like that, not PBS, BBC, I should say. It was first to be called John Cleese's Flying Circus.
I did, really?
Yeah, that's what it was first supposed to be called. But they were, because he was the most popular. Most popular, I guess, of them at the time.
So how'd they come up with Monty Python?
Well, I'm getting there. I have to make up. I need some time to make up some information. Okay, it's been all right.
Mm-hmm.
No, John, he didn't at the time. You know, where he was becoming a little more popular, he didn't want to give his name to like a series, which could totally be a total disaster. They're a complete disaster. Right? If you're the most popular of your friends, you're not going to be like, I'll take the bullet. You know, smart dude. So then they decided. Television company, the BBC, I should say. It's an insult to call a television company. The BBC went with, the group at the time and agreed to take the, so they're going to accept like the Flying Circus part of it. And so they said, okay, we'll take that. It's the Flying Circus, but they told the rest of the BBC, said the rest of the troops, you have to come for the rest of it. So they were sitting around, kind of like the Grateful Dead, right? Sitting around trying to come up with a name, as you most do, but even adults do.
Yeah,
just like
people do, yeah.
As most people do. So they came up, they thought a surname Python. And so they came up with Mr. Python. And then a very popular, I don't know if I mentioned him, Eric Idle. He's a very, became a very popular, hilarious man. He came up, the part of the troupe came up with Monty, which made everyone laugh. So they gave it like 24 hours just to marinate. And then they went to the BBC and told them what their name was, right? And they may come up with, you know what the BBC said?
What?
Speaking for all of them, I suppose, they said that I think that you'll find in years to come it'll become known as Flying Circus and not Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, but it's funny from the sense in that, you know, in all of marketing that even like commercial type of, they have commercial interests like that people thinking they know what, you know, what people actually like.
Yeah,
and so
sure,
most people
right?
don't refer to it as flying circus. It's like if you said flying circus to someone, they wouldn't really know. But when you put Monty Python in front of course, I mean, that's
they immediately know.
They immediately know. So that's not a I don't think that was a wise call by that particular by the BBC at the time.
No, they don't.
But
really
of course,
know
the best commercial interest at all. So.
Yep. That's interesting. See, I thought, I mean, I don't know where I saw or heard something about, like, the name, like, the Flying Circus part. I thought, I mean, that might be wrong, but it had something to do with the, you know, Snoopy and the Red Baron song. Remember that?
No, I remember, isn't it, like, you know, it kind of has, like, the horns and everything and, like, the sort of the hollowed horns a little bit, like a flying theme almost, like, I guess.
Yeah, it's and the Snoopies and I forgot how it goes, and you know, so it was like that, the Red Baron Flying Circus, you know, and I might be wrong, but I always somewhere along the way I heard that.
But I do want to mention that they actually they're one of the troop members of Graham Chapman. I think I mentioned him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry. Was it? No, it was Terry Gilliam, who's another hilarious dude in the troop. So
okay.
John Cleese, Eric Idle, Terry Gilliam. And so way back when they were starting out, when the Python was starting out, they were approved for the show, right? And for the body of the BBC. And he's a. We don't have. I don't think we have the clip. It's hard to grab. Or if someone has it and call in and play, that'd be cool. But the parrot sketch. Is that
oh
thing?
Yeah.
So is that guy's in a lot.
I think I tweeted that out.
Oh, did you really? Oh, that'd be awesome. Graham, excellent. But
sure.
He was mentioning that they thought that the BBC, or they thought that the Monty Python's Flying Circus was going to be a late night, you know, as far as censorship goes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be a late night satire show and like a total relatively safe, you know, safe bet. So let's just go with this. We don't, you know, we might as well put on, we might as well fill a time slot with it, right? And so much to, this is from an interview with Graham Chapman, and so much to his dismay, you know, people actually did watch, he says. They did watch. And they moved to them earlier, and then they had to deal with censorship stuff. So that's what they kind of
fell
into.
They didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
That's when they first fell into it. There's a big difference between, that's why we're talking about the BBC shows versus American shows. You know, it's much more acceptable for things.
Hmm.
In England, then is one sketch that always stands out that I really liked a lot.
That's interesting. So, I'm actually just I went out to really quick the App Store, the iTunes App Store, and
you went to the App Store.
Yeah, they have a bunch of Monty Python stuff out there, like the Ministry of Silly Walks. It looks like there's some sort of a game.
It's a good bit.
And then they have Monty Python, or they do, it looks like it's all the little clips, like little funny sketches, sketch commentary. Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually.
But the app store, is there an app out there that you buy?
Yeah, they call it Python Bites. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Oh, so they're for sale there?
Some of them are for sale, yep.
Some of them are for sale. But one thing I wanted to play was, I know one thing that this show represents, and I hope a lot of our followers represent also, is the right to defend yourself, independence, and freedom. And by stepping back to the censorship part where they first stepped in.
NRA all the way!
America, get your freedom. One of my favorite parts about with Monty Python is a bit called The Annoying Peasant.
It's actually kind of relevant.
Did we grab that?
I do. It's like 3 minutes long. Do you want to play the whole thing?
We'll play it to like, there actually does, I know it picks up because I'm very familiar with the clip and I laugh at it every time. I mean, I don't even laugh, but it's a very timeless piece. Maybe cut it at 2:45. I don't know.
This is actually something that you and I were talking about when we started talking about the Monty Python. Is you know, some of their bits are just, you know, total slapstick and joke after joke after joke at the very beginning.
Silly humor.
Yeah, it's totally silly. And then like later on,
like a silly walk, for example.
Yeah, that's some other ones that they take forever for the joke actually get there. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, here's the peasant clip.
Well, it's annoying peasant, really.
Yes, that's true.
From the Holy Grail.
Tom's on the porch.
Old woman!
Man!
Visual. Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is that you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. Only people would
realize... Please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Oh, who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for king.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, now we see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant.
Oh, what a giveaway. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Good.
Did you see him repressing
this
me?
This is the violence.
Yeah.
Still relevant today. Still relevant
really
today.
Is. It really is, yep. Yeah, it's funny talking about not to get sidetracked too much. I saw...
Well, that's actually the mention. I'm sorry. That's a clip from the Holy Grail.
You know, what's popular today, I mean, it's almost like the... There's like memes, you know what memes are, right? I'm not going to go to there.
Memes.
But anyway, there was like a picture of like these Aztecs and they're sacrificing someone. And they're talking about the government. It's like, yeah, it's not the best government, but it's the one we got or something like that. You know, and people always say.
Interesting for democracy, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's so interesting for democracy.
Yeah.
But it's unbelievable how that holds up even today.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, there was one out there I couldn't find. I was trying to find the clip, but I couldn't find it. But, and I don't know if they asked the name of the skit, but it's pretty funny. It's like, two guys, they were like insulting each other, or the guys with his boss, or he's trying to impress them, right? And every time he says something wrong, like what do you mean? And the guy's like, I'm acting, and he's like, "Oh, very good." He's like, "Thank you."
was that? I remember that as a SNL skit, actually.
I don't know if that's SNL.
I thought it was SNL with that one dude who was popular. I don't mean to be too big, but Kevin Nealon, I thought was in that. Or was it Kevin Nealon?
Maybe.
I thought there was an SNL one.
Hmm.
Maybe that's why I couldn't find it under Monty Python.
No wonder. No wonder my search was unsuccessful. It resulted in nothing, really.
Yeah.
Got nothing. Put the wrong words in, got the wrong answer. Fancy that.
Yeah. Google always
fancy it again. Do it then again, put the wrong words in, get the wrong answer. At least it's consistent.
That's right.
Machine works. Machine's working right.
User error. Yep.
One thing I, we usually don't do a lot of, you know, research or anything, or, you know, checking stuff out.
I'm pretty sure that shows.
Yeah, it goes without saying.
Yeah.
But with Python, there's so much when we had talked about doing it as a show, there was so much that I started thinking about. I wasn't sure, like, there's Monty Python. Then there's the films, of course.
Oh, yeah, the movies.
The movies, yeah, that they had.
Which we
and,
just played a clip of.
Well, that was the very first film, though.
Was Holy Grail the first one?
That was the very first one, yeah, in 75.
Interesting.
Actually, 75. Yeah, that was the very first one. I was going to say. And that was the very first one that I saw, too. There's The Life of Brian. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening to him. Yeah,
no, that was The Life of Brian. There was that one. I'm trying to think of the top of my head, though. Those are the two that I remember.
Oh, you want me to name the movies? There was
No, I don't want you to name the movies, but... Yeah, The Life of Brian, The Holy Grail... Life of Brian, then...
Monty Python, and then... No
and
more
and then...
The
Meaning
of Life, The Meaning of Life. Monty Python,
Meaning of
Life.
I remember telling Terry Gilliam... Oh, Meaning of Life, right. Yeah.
Yes, that's the other one.
Terry Gilliam had mentioned, too, that one thing he was very surprised about was that when Monty Python actually became successful enough that people wanted to pay them to make a movie, and that's how they came up with the Holy Grail movie, the first one.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. Holy Grail is a good one. That's the one I own. That one. I do not own the others, unfortunately. I have to say yet, but I've seen them. I just haven't. I just don't own them.
Yeah, I like.
Well,
the
copy it is.
Yeah. I think the Holy Grail is the funniest of them all.
I like that one. That's my favorite one.
Yeah,
that's my favorite one as far as that. As far as that goes. You know what else? Another clip from that is, do we have the flesh wound clip? Quip? The flesh wound clip from Holy Grail?
Oh, yeah, I do.
The flesh wound.
This one's 3 minutes as well.
Oh, this is a great one. But you know what else is, we were talking about before about the length of Python films before we started this?
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of their, you know, obviously they're very visual. You know, the expressions and the stillness, everything is very visual. It's not, sometimes there's unspoken.
Yeah.
Comedy going on too, so you kind of have to be a little bit somewhat familiar with it.
Yeah, the glue clips. This is a good one. Everybody should be familiar with it. Really, a
flesh wound. This is one of the first ones I remember as a kid. It's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, the Dark Knight or something like that, right? Here you go.
That's exactly right, yeah. Roll it.
You fight with the strength of many men tonight. I am Arthur, King of the Britons.
No one respects the king, dude.
Yeah, no.
I seek the finest and the bravest knights in the land to join me in my court at Camelot. You have proved yourself worthy. Will you join me?
Doesn't talk.
You make me sad. So be it. Come, Patsy.
None shall pass.
What?
None shall pass.
I have no quarrel with you, good Sir Knight, but I must cross this bridge.
Then you shall die.
I command you, as King of the Britons, to stand aside.
I move for no man.
So be it. Now stand aside, worthy adversary.
'Tis but a scratch.
A scratch? Your arm's off.
Wait,
it isn't.
Well, what's that then?
I've had worse.
You liar!
Come on, you pansy!
I've had worse.
Victory is mine!
We thank thee, Lord, that in thy mercy...
Come on, then!
What?
Have at you!
You are indeed brave, Sir Knight, but the fight is mine.
Oh, had enough, eh?
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken! Chicken!
Look, I'll have your leg. Right!
Right, I'll do you for that.
You're what?
Come here!
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible!
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs! How about you? Come on, then.
At this point, it's just a torso.
Yeah.
All right. We'll call it a draw.
Come, Patrick.
Oh, I see. Running away, eh? You yellow bastard! Come back here and take what's coming to you! I'll bite your legs off!
Just a torso.
Yep. Call it a draw.
One thing. Call it a draw, then, shall we? One thing I was thinking about, I was talking about a visual. I didn't want to interrupt the scene, but it's, in the film, they're not horses.
No.
They're just riding air and kind of running around like
clubbing and slapping their knees,
clubbing it and so forth. Yeah. And then they dismount, you know, like kind of, and they off to nothing. That was in the last clip, I remember, when he goes dismount, and I was like, oh, I totally forgot, they're not even riding real horses. Hearing on the radio is different than the actual visual of it. So,
yeah, you would think.
Oh, it's great stuff, man. Now, I was thinking about the films part of where I was talking about the Monty Python films, but what other films the troupe influenced while they were, when they disbanded?
Oh,
you know, like,
influenced or they were in.
Oh, actually, that's a great clarification. I should have said, like, both, actually. By what they were in, how they influenced people. Yeah, see what I did there? Like, remember the movie, you know, like Terry Gilliam? Remember the movie Brazil? Super trippy movie.
Oh, yeah.
Super trippy. He did that, like, after Meaning of Life. And then I know, you know, film, you and I dig a better book. He also wrote the screenplay for Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Okay.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yes, of course. And then, going back to mention, talking about the research, kind of, I did put my foot in the pool of Monty Python for a little bit to get some information, because there's so much to tackle with this crew.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I found out, my favorite facts was, did you ever see the film, there's a Terry Gilliam film as well, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus? Did you ever hear about it?
No.
Did you ever see it? All right.
Can't say I have.
Well, he wrote that. He also did 12 Monkeys, this guy. But one thing from that film was, I used to have a copy of it, but I gave it to Brother Patrick, as a matter of fact, because it was too trippy for me. I was like, I don't know about this movie. But I found out in the research that during the filming, Heath Ledger was the lead actor and died during the filming of it.
What movie is this?
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Hmm.
Terry Gilliam film. I was like, wait a second, what movie is this? How did I miss this one? Yeah, it was, you know.
That's pretty recent then, right?
Well, really. Pretty recent, really. Yeah, it was in 09. So it's when Heath Ledger died. So maybe not 09, but maybe 08, 89. So, yeah, it's super sad.
It feels like he was still around then.
Yeah. It's only like 6 years ago, you know. It's not that far away.
2009,
you know,
yeah,
that far away. But yeah, I mean, because Heath Ledger, you know, it's kind of like around the same age as us, you know, that age of actor. He seems to come up on our show every now and then for some reason.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he says a happy ending to the story. He passed away during the filming, and so Gilliam is friends with Johnny Depp. Who isn't, right? Anybody? Johnny Depp's friends with anybody. Gilliam calls him up and he just wanted to stop. He's like, oh, what should I do? I guess I have to shut down shooting, you know, lead actor. That's who I wanted. That's what that kind of the part was for and everything, you know. So, Depp, you know, kind of convinced Terry Gilliam not to stop the film, to keep it going. And then he mentioned that he would like to play a part of the the role that Heath Ledger was set to play in the film. Hmm. And I think Heath Ledger's in a part of it. Maybe, you know, that could be made up. So we'll look out for that one. But Johnny Depp enlisted then Jude Law, because Johnny Depp mentioned to Gilliam, I got ahead of myself there, continue the film, but also you might have to rewrite it, because maybe you can rewrite it to a certain way. And so Jude Law was also in the film. So I didn't see the film, because like, I can only imagine there's different sequences in his life, that there's different people, you know, different characters playing the same person.
Yeah.
But the happy part of it is, and I'll probably get there, happy part of it is both of those guys, Johnny Depp and Jude Law, did it for free, and they gave their paychecks to Ledger's daughter.
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
You know? Sorry it took a long way to get there, but it's a nice Hollywood story.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But also the kind of the influence, so.
Yeah, you want more influence, and the influence on popular culture that they had, and this is something that I didn't really know until doing very little research on my own, as you said.
You put a foot in the pool, did you?
Yeah, just a little bit. So email spam comes from Monty Python.
Oh, I should have known that, really.
Yeah, their song Spam led to plenty of the term email.
Yeah, that would
have
been cool.
Yeah,
spam, chicky spam, spam, chicky spam.
Yeah, so if you Wikipedia email spam, it was as his name for spam lunching meat by the way of a Monty Python sketch, in which spam is depicted as ubiquitous and unavoidable.
Nice. You know what I think is ubiquitous and unavoidable as well?
What's that?
A silly walk.
Oh, yes, a silly walk.
Take a silly walk for spam, shall we?
Yes, I think we should. Want to take a silly walk?
Yes, indeed.
Jumping
all over on my different Cockney accents here. Oh, no. Tribute. It's a silly walk.
Work, work, money, money, work, work, money, money, work, work, funny, money, funny, money, work, 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 hurry, hurry, work, work, worry, worry, work, work, hurry, hurry, worry, worry, work, work. Morning, 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 Jill, morning, Jack, can't complain, keep coming back. Morning, 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 Jim, morning, Fred, work all day until you're dead. Money is the root of evil, money is the root of sin, money is the root of everything. Wear a suit, they'll let you in. Morning, morning, morning.
How it is. You used the word trippy there, Chris, in the middle of that song. And, I always thought that was trippy. Was like the beginning of Monty Python Flying Circus and all the cartoon. Right?
Oh.
It was pretty, remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And that's funny you say that, because Gilliam mentioned, because we were talking about Benny Hill earlier, and in the cartoon, like with Monty Python, and censorship, and I'm not going to go the way of snuff films here, but I will mention, is that there was a time, and I think Gilliam also mentioned that a lot of the first sex images for younger people were through, like, the Monty Python animations that were on PBS.
Really? Yeah, I guess so, because they did have, like, a naked lady, right?
Yeah, you could either step real late and see the real naked lady on Benny Hill, or you could just watch Monty Python like an hour earlier and see like the cartoon pictures. of naked ladies.
Yep. That's true. I didn't really think about that.
Didn't really do much, you know. I don't think it affected a whole lot of people. Because I guess it was a time, Terry Gilliam, the same guy, wanted to do a sketch with the BBC, PBS. No, it had to be BBC because they never did any new sketches on American television. But he wanted to do a sketch with paintings of naked ladies in the background. And they wouldn't allow it on American TV. But they would put it on PBS. So it couldn't be rebroadcast on like an ABC show, you know what I mean? So that's why the show was kind of on PBS, because of the content.
Hmm.
And then because it was already pre-recorded in the BBC, right? So you think about it, but it was just transferred over to America. So there's nothing new being recorded. So anything that they would allow on PBC, which is also, you know, translated to a PBS broadcast, but it would, you know, God forbid it should be on any of the major networks. Unfortunately, imagine how much money the thing would have made.
I know. That went great.
Ridiculous. So, and then maybe they would have, you know, who knows what direction it would have taken. Kind of like, I hate to say it because it was a good, you know, The Office show, but I don't mean the American show, I mean the BBC show, Office. You know, they did a perfect thing. They were on for 2 or 3 years. It was almost a comedy troupe itself.
Yeah.
And well, one of my favorite.
My favorite,
I was getting away from a British one, but English, Irish series, Father Ted, which is a great
show. Yeah, you like that. I never really watched that.
I'd recommend it to anyone. You can purchase that through your local Amazon service.
Hmm.
Which is this. So, but, yeah, it was, another thing, too, that, we talk about Terry Gilliam and how all the influential things that he had done. And so someone asked him what makes him laugh. Because he mentioned one thing, which I thought was great first, and you and I would both respect this, is surprise. The person has to be surprised to kind of make them laugh, I think, to kind of take the emotion that they're grounded in.
Yeah.
And or the direction that they think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily mean surprise, but he also mentioned two comedians, I think, that we mentioned on one of our earlier podcasts. He mentioned a quote, Bill Hicks is an utter genius, or was an utter genius. He mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I thought was a cool quote from Gilliam was that he mentioned Lenny Bruce was always trying to take the sting out of words, which I think is also a great quote and a great way to describe Lenny Bruce, you know, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you say, I saw a headline out there, I was just kind of looking at it as you were talking, of a called Monty Python, and it's probably the only thing that, I mean, I guess it's pretty good. It's like the Beatles of comedy.
A description as the Beatles of comedy?
Yeah.
Maybe in a way, man. That's actually not a bad description, really. I've never heard that.
Yeah, there's.
But they had a few more members, but that's okay.
Yeah, a few more members, but they're British.
Yeah.
I've
always been a fan of the British culture. I really have. They have great beers.
Yep.
Great. I've always been a fan of the British culture. They always have. Did you go to Britain when you were over in the Europe?
No, I did not.
Listen to me already. I'm like, oh, no. Suddenly, I have the language of the Queen. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh no, Britain for you then. No, mm-hmm. I suppose not. You wouldn't.
Yep.
But I've always been a fan, as you know. I like the London Jack.
Union
I've always been a fan of London. I even like the London Jack flag.
Yeah, right.
Shit. Now I'm not even going to get me allowed there. Ever.
Well, it's gone. Well, London is a city, right? So it's Great Britain and England, right? Mm-hmm. Is England or now Great Britain, or are they both? So there's England, then Great Britain is like.
Oh, don't ask me. I don't think I'm a good sounding word for these English.
More than just England, I think.
What's the quote you're about to...
So England is a country.
Right.
Great Britain is, England and its colonies.
State of that country?
Like Northern Ireland and Scotland.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Right. Yeah, I think. I might, you know, that's, I don't know. That's right. I do believe that's true, though.
Did you find things when you're in, when you're in Europe, were things a lot more loose, like morals more loosened? Not more. Were your morals loosened when you went overseas? No, was it more laid back and much more accepting of things in Europe?
To a certain extent. You know, I think there was a want to be accepting, but then like there's another driving force behind it of people. Like, there's a bunch of people that just accept everything, and there's like people that are, like, driving and trying to change like their culture and beliefs. So it's kind of
like the revolutionists. There's a revolutionist element.
Yeah, but I would say it's more on the religious side of things, you know.
There's a huge religious undertone.
Yeah, well, I'll just put it out there. It was Muslims, you know, hardcore Muslims.
The Muslims again.
No, hardcore Muslims. I mean, not all Muslims are hardcore. It used to be like that, you know. It's kind of like the Bible thumpers. Yeah, like for the here in America, no abortion, no this, no that, like, and they're pretty influential, you know, in their things, and they're trying to change things, and people are getting mad at them. So that's kind of what I picked up on.
More the roots, were they roots people or revolutionaries? Kind of people like kind of dug in. Like what kind
No, they're just like hardcore belief into the Muslim culture. Like, you know,
more so. Oh, so it's much more religious.
Yeah.
Just much more the binding force than it is, say, like stand your ground people that were hanging out in downtown New York a few years ago. Different than that group?
Yeah, this is more of a religious belief.
Oh, much more religious undertone, yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely a strong undercurrent, obviously, a very strong undercurrent.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
More so than it is in the United States, right? But you can actually feel it.
I mean, you know it's there, believe me. I picked up on it. I wasn't looking for it, but I picked up on it, so.
Picked right up on it.
Yeah.
Picked it up like a lumberjack picks up an axe.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely different, though.
Yeah.
It's cool. Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'm
doing good with it.
So, there's the beginning of the cartoon. But they've been gone a long time, Mighty Python. Like, when was the last time they did anything? You know what I'm saying?
You're shocked at this point. Like, what was the last time they did anything? They didn't really break up in like 1974, you know?
Right. And they did a couple movies, and then that was it, right?
So they actually are just missing them now, like all this stuff.
They did this Monty Python Live mostly in 2014. I wasn't familiar with this.
Oh, yeah, when they went out and they did a weird thing like that where they did, like, the Python. I don't even know any clips. I never seen any clips of it at all. It's like the stage show of the show, I think. Maybe. I think that's what it was, probably the sketches that we've talked about tonight that were performed live on the stage. Maybe that's what it is. Is that what it kind of had? It sounds like what it might be, right?
Yeah, I mean, remember that they did live was like Live at the Hollywood Bowl. I remember watching that over and over and over and over again.
I'm not familiar with that one. But it was live sketch comedy, right?
Yeah.
That
movie's still out there. You've never seen live?
I've heard of it. I probably watched it, but I put it in memory already.
Live at the Hollywood Bowl has the Lumberjack song. They do Lumberjack in that.
But that's not where they did it originally, though. It was originally must have been on...
That's where I first saw it.
Oh, okay. So I'm staking claim to then. The Lumberjack song. Hold on. Oh, my Lumberjack in it. So, is that the one? Nice. I remember this when I was a little boy.
Yeah.
Slumbering around.
Okay. I work all night and I sleep all day.
No, I don't.
All right. So.
That's a good lifestyle right there.
It first appeared in the ninth episode. I'm just looking at the history of that song.
Okay. You sound like you're reading something.
I am reading something, yep. But that's where I first saw it, yep. So, what do you want to do? You want to hear some of that?
Yeah, if you have it, yeah. It sounds like almost like a socialist song in a way, doesn't it?
Well, there's a surprise ending. There's a twist.
There's a twist. Hang in there for the twist, though.
Oh, yes.
Buckle up, take a ride, have a sip, sit back, relax. Pick up your hammers. Walk through the forest.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. Sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I eat my lunch, I go to the lavatory. On Wednesday I go shopping and have butter scones for tea.
He cuts down trees.
I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day. I I cut down trees, I skip and jump, I like to press wildflowers. I put on women's clothing and hang around in bars. On trees, I wear high heels, suspenders, and a bra. I wish I'd been a girly, just like my dear papa.
Was it somebody walking away? Yep. So obviously it's about a lumberjack that likes to wear women's clothes.
Cross dress, if you will. Cross dress.
Yes. But I actually remember like just a bit, like it was like a song, and like they had like this little. And I actually got some of the letters, like it's like a letter the guy's like the person's reading, like I'll do my worst English accent. Like, "Dear sir, I wish to complain in the strongest possible terms about the song which had just been broadcast about
all
the
right.
lumberjack who wears women's clothes. Many of my best friends are lumberjacks, and only a few of them are transvestites."
Got it right again, standing in defense.
That's right.
Freedom of freedom of expression.
Oh, wait a minute. I mean, that's pretty, you know, big thing to be playing back in the
late 60s.
Yeah, right? I mean, that
was. But Graham Chapman, Graham Chapman was. I do have to look this up because watch the films. They're actually on Netflix right now. Graham Chapman had an autobiographical film animated about his life called Liar's Autobiography. But before that, I guess he wrote a book. But what he did was 3 years before his death, he read the book and he recorded himself narrating the book. So they had all his recordings of like the book, you know, the book parts of it, the whole book, and they made an animated film out of it in like 2012, so almost 3 years ago. Then
No.
I'm talking about the guy. You were talking about like cross-dressing and everything like that. And so,
Yeah.
Graham Chapman he had a coming. Him and John, you know, him and Doug Peace were friends, and he went off to supposedly write some comedy with some dude or whatever out in some place. Great story. Anyway, Chapman came on to him and stuff like that. And those guys were like gay lovers for like 25 years. And so soon after, so in the first like couple of years, I didn't know until I watched this movie. And I'm like, what am I watching? I was like, I'm watching a movie by myself, about a homosexual encounter by myself. I'm like, I don't know. So I immediately invited a chick over and changed the channel. But there's a movie called A Liar's Autobiography that he did an animated film. And then there's like a follow-up called The Graham Chapman Anatomy of a Liar. And I think that his book was called Anatomy of a Liar. And then he made, or the autobiography or whatever, then he made had the book, then he made the film. And then the second film was only 45 minutes, dude. It's a good follow-up. It's 45 minutes, and it's really good to watch back-to-back. But, yeah, that's where I learned the whole thing about it. But he had a coming-out party with his friends. And John Cleese, he's telling him, no, he do all these things. He's like, he didn't believe him at all. You know, even though he's, like, friends with him for a while and stuff. He's like, I guess. So we just accepted him after a while. And I was like, holy cow. And like, but no, you were just, you're talking about like what a big thing the cross-dressing was. But he was a key figure. Like I said, in the Parrot sketch, he was a huge figure in Python's writing. He actually met John Cleese in college, you know?
Yep.
And so, and that's a huge thing for him to be have a coming out party in like 1968 or something like that, you know? While Mighty Python was like hugely popular and everything. So it was, no wonder it's without surprise they came up with a Lumberjack song. Then the other song, which, remember Sit on My Face? Sit on my face and be happy or something like that.
Yeah, I kind of remember it, but yeah.
That's kind of thing. And I was like, that's why we're not uploading that one tonight.
Yeah. Family friendly, somewhat.
No, I don't even think somewhat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great show. But yeah, you were talking about the live show. They went on stage and did some broadcast of a live show. Like last year, like last summer. They did Monty Python live on stage.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either until you mentioned it too. And but then I remember that, there was something that circulated that was like a video, a promotional video that was done by the Stones.
Oh really? I think I have that.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
that's a good one, man. Excellent. Yeah. It's the Stones in a hotel room just chilling, and it's actually the same as like World Cup's going on, I think. And he's watching like World Cup, or watching the Stones are hanging out. It's like Charlie Watts, Jagger's on the couch.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny because the Stones kind of make fun of themselves a little bit.
Have you seen this one before, man?
I have seen this.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, should I play it?
Yeah, if you got it.
Yeah.
Play it if you got it.
Yeah, smoke them if you got them. Here you go.
Nada de Honduras. Cruzamento feito, toque de cabeça.
Oh, no! Oh, it was amazing.
Hey, Mick, you wanted to look at the set list for tomorrow night?
Yeah. There's all this stuff in the paper about the review that the lighting's too dark and everything. Where's Patrick?
He's not here. He's in London.
With Charlie Watts. Oh,
what's he doing in London?
The Monty Python, the show's at the O2.
Oh, yeah. Monty Python, are they still going?
Yeah, they're doing 10 shows. How do you want to go?
10 shows? That's pretty amazing. That's pretty corny, you know. I mean, I bet it's expensive. But, I mean, who wants to see that again, really? I mean, it was really funny in the 60s.
Well, the first show sold out in 40 seconds.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I mean, still a bunch of wrinkly old men trying to relive their youth and make a load of money. I mean, the best one died years ago. Maybe back in the 70s, it was fantastic. I mean, it was the funniest thing. I mean, you've seen it all before. I mean, they put it all up on YouTube.
Well, what did you want to do tomorrow night?
Start with something everyone knows, like Let's Spend the Night Together, and then we can move on to Get Off My Cloud, and then should hit Satisfaction, I think, then. Yeah.
Dead Parrot Sketch?
Yeah, Dead Parrot Sketch.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, it's pretty funny. Right? But, yeah, obviously, it's the Stones exactly the same way, right? They're huge in the 60s and 70s. Right, they're coming back to make some money, and... Yeah, best one's dead years ago.
Do the same stuff over.
Do the same stuff over and over again.
Just kind of nonchalantly, I guess, play no snap. Spend time together, backflash, or we got to go over the. But he's actually referencing Graham Chapman, I mentioned, who was almost in every sketch. And he's kind of, that's what he's kind of mentioning, was the best one died years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like Keith Jones, you know, best one died years ago. Like the Stones again, like that kind of lines up too.
Yep.
So yeah, it's pretty. It's a good correlation.
It's a good correlation. It's watching a little football.
So yeah, Charlie Watts is on the couch, just super old. Charlie Watts is laying down with a blanket on him in the video.
Yep. So how did Graham Chapman die?
Throat cancer. Thanks for bringing it up.
Sad. I was curious.
Yeah, 84. You know. Mm. Throat cancer. 84. That's how it happens. But but he was like the kind of major, you know, with John Cleese as well. They were kind of a major organizer of it, and that's why with John, the most well-known one, that's why they wanted to name it John Cleese's Flying Circus, but they never did. But before we go, there's a few things that's definitely a check out. As I mentioned, if you want to find out more about the Monty Python or the current stuff that's out there with Monty Python, like I said, I highly recommend on Netflix. It's Film the Liar's Autobiography. The person that we just mentioned about Graham there.
Yep.
And then there's a follow-up film to it as well, the Graham Chapman one. It's Graham Chapman, Anatomy of a Liar. It's not animated. Those two things are good. And then I also want to mention on Nerdist, there's a John Cleese interview you can find out there. A little over an
hour.
That's
cool.
So Chris Hardwick's podcast, that is?
I think so. I was going to say, if you want to find out more about Monty Python, and you know, it's not something that we had available when we were kids. We just actually had the show, but you just go to the Google.com.
On the Google machine?
Yeah, go to www.google.com and you type in Monty Python and you find all sorts of new stuff out there.
No one ever figured it out before, man.
We had our Johnny Carson show last week, and then you can do the same thing on Johnny Carson if you want to find out more about Johnny Carson, or you can read the book on Johnny Carson.
Yeah, but this show is about Monty Python. We mentioned Johnny Carson last week.
Yeah. I wonder if Johnny Carson...
I know.
I'm sure with Monty Python, I'm sure he had them on his show, right? He had
Now you're just name-dropping.
I'm sure he did. I bet you Monty Python was on. John Cleese definitely was on Johnny Carson.
Yeah, there's actually a book, John Cleese, we didn't mention. He has a book called So Anyway. So, comma anyways, biography. Watch that. But I would definitely, always check out, if you ever come across it, in some crazy motel room in Wisconsin at 2:30 in the morning, on PBS is all you get through, and Flying Circus comes on. It'll be the best thing you probably remember in your life, watching a show of it the first time ever. But isn't it amazing? 5 years after, it wasn't even broadcast any longer. It appeared in the U.S.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't realize
Flying
that was
Circus.
That long.
Yeah. So never go up your dreams, I guess. Like half a decade, and you're like, fuck. We're okay.
Yeah.
What are we going through now?
Yeah, so who else? I mean, was there any? I mean, obviously John Cleese is the one main guy I know, and then there's Graham, but.
Graham Chapman.
Eric
Idle.
John Cleese is the only one that really made it big in the States, like outside of Monty Python.
No, Eric Idle was pretty big. I don't know what stuff he was in. You have to check on the Google machine, which I don't have it before me right now. Eric Idle was pretty big. And like I mentioned, Terry Gilliam was big with all those films I mentioned. All right, then, I suppose. They made something of themselves, these boys.
Take my word for it. The parrot is fine.
Suppose they use the Flying Circus as a bit of a springboard then.
Well, if you think about it, maybe remember Dumb and Dumber with the dead bird? I mean, they kind of stole that.
But the boy was also blind, man. The kid was also blind.
But they kind of stole that from Monty Python, was stealing, you know. This parrot's
too. Sort of in a way, influence, I suppose, not stealing directly. That's actually still a good bit.
Yeah, still a good bit.
I like it because that's how the movie opens in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
When
they're
back to a blind kid, I'm like, that's actually all right. It's going to be good. I'm settling in now. I'm going to kick back and watch them make fun of handicapped kids for an hour and a half. I'm down for $8.
Yeah.
$8 of popcorn, I'm in. Hey, all right, I'll take a front row for window liquor for $10. Give me a window liquor movie, $10. Medium popcorn, I'm in. You got a seizure boy? Give me seizure boy. I'll take a two-night seizure boy, $20, large buy. Some medium popcorn, $20, seizure boy movies.
Interesting.
So now I know my home likes.
So. We don't have a topic for next week yet, do we?
No, but stay tuned to Twitter. We're gonna get better about letting y'all know what's happening through the week.
Yeah, I've been slacking. That's on me.
Yeah, that's all right. We got stuff going on. We do have lives, people.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that we have lives.
Blah 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 blah, blah, blah blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sabonding bam.
Oh, it's Super Bowl. Chris, who's your Super Bowl pick?
Seattle. That's who at least I want, and I hope that wins by a dominating factor. And I'll let you go because you're much more knowledgeable.
Yeah, I'm on Seattle too. I think Seattle. I'm not going to go into all the game breakdown.
What's the spread?
Depending on where you look, it's either Patriots -1 or Patriots -2. Yeah.
So they're underdogs coming in.
Yep, I still think they're going to get there. Yeah, so have a safe Super Bowl Sunday.
Right on.
Yep, and I guess we'll say go Seattle Seahawks. You know, check out...
Viva la vida, Monty Python.
That's it. Yeah, spam a lot. All right, folks. Let's get out of here, and we'll catch you next week. Keep an eye on the Twitter so you know what we're going to talk about if you're interested. All right.
Coming up. Good night.
Peace out.
Thanks for checking out the Kick My Brother podcast with Chris and Kyle. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Kick My Brother for past episodes and all that's going on. See you next week.